So happy birthday. Come on, it's a big deal. Fourth birthday, y'all. That's a big deal. Every year I get older. You're supposed to say, no, you don't. All right, every year I get older, and every year goes by faster than the last. Every single year goes by faster than the last. This year has flown by at Restoration. And I say the same thing every year we get up and celebrate our birthday. I cannot believe all that God has done through this church, in this community this year, because of you and how you respond to what God calls you to do. So it's an absolutely amazing thing. I've been really thinking this last week about who we are as a church. And I've been thinking about how I grew up, and I've shared this with you before if you've been here. I did not grow up in a loving, welcoming, warm, inviting church environment. In fact, I stopped going to church when I was 12 years old because it was such a negative experience, and really didn't participate in a church again for a very, very long time. And I think all of the experiences that I had being rejected by the church were leading me to this place in this community where someday I'd be part of a church that welcomed everybody. Where someday I would be part of a church that loved people, that loved its community, that responded to the needs of its community. And I think that that longing and that dream that I had is what Restoration has become. That longing for a community that welcomes people and loves people right where they are, right in the midst of your journey, no matter what your journey is, and says, hey, you are welcome here. We are not trying to create you to be something that you aren't. So welcome. If this is your first Sunday, welcome to the journey. Welcome to being part of this. Now, I will tell you, 1, 2, and 3, our birthdays 1, 2, and 3 were a little easier to figure out how to celebrate, but 4 was harder. What do you do for 4? What's a big 4 milestone? Well, I thought maybe we could do a Final Four theme, but that's still a little too fresh from last year and how bad UVA did with UMBC. That was tough, you know, in round 1. So that was too fresh. I still can't talk about that. And then I said, well, we could have done 4-letter words, but, you know, that doesn't go over too well. And then I said, I grew up, right, in what's called the country, so I could do like 4-wheeling, but that writes out most of you because you don't know what that concept is. So then one day I was talking to somebody and I said, what about golf? Right, because in golf, the word that you yell when you want people to watch out is what?
4.
Oh, that's the best you've done so far. All right, so you yell out 4, like 4, watch out. Here it comes. Now, for some of you, you drove up today and you saw what I was wearing, and after you stopped laughing, you said, this is awesome. It's golf day. I'm so excited. For others of you, you said, golf might be the most boring thing in the world, and I hate today, and I can't believe he's going to preach in that getup. Yes, I'm preaching in this getup. I hope that the sermon is not boring. I hope that it doesn't make you fall asleep. I hope that it stays interesting for you. But I want to draw some parallels today that I think exist in the game of golf and in our life and in the church. So I'm going to do my best to pull in this whole theme today to work together. Now, in the game of golf, there are hazards, right? Sand traps, water. In the game of life, are there hazards? Yes. In the church, there are hazards, right? There's church after church after church where I'm meeting people that are closing right now. Do you know that? Church after church after church is closing because nobody's showing up anymore. Churches are starting and they're dying months later because people aren't showing up. So there are hazards that we face in life and we face in the church. There are really long holes in golf. There are really long days in life. There are really long days and long seasons in the life of the church and in our life. So I want to do some connections there. There are times when you play golf with others and there are times when you play golf by yourself. Now I have found that it's much better to play with others because it keeps my mouth clean, right, when I'm playing with other people. It keeps my thoughts clean, but it also is just more fun because you hang out and you play with other people. So I want to talk a little bit about community today. Now, when I think about this theme, I try to say, how does this remind me of Restoration? And I was thinking about, what scripture do I want to go to today? How do I want to connect us? And I want to take us back to that beginning scripture again, to that place where the name of this community came from, to that place that we started. To go back to who we are and see if we're living into this community that we said we were going to be. And it comes in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Paul was a missionary. He was a guy that went around, traveled place to place, starting churches, starting communities. And he wrote this letter to these people in Corinth, the Corinthians. And the very last words that potentially he ever uttered to them were at the end of this letter, which I'm going to look at today in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full what? Restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. What an end to a letter, right? What powerful words to leave people if that's the last thing they're ever going to hear from you. So I want to look at restoration, look at our last year through the lens of this scripture, through the lens of golf. But I want to look at three different concepts that I find in the game of golf and use the scripture this morning. Now I want to tell you, my parents are avid golfers. The little bit of golf I know, and I'm pretty terrible, I'm not going to lie to you, but the little bit that I know comes from them. I mean, my dad plays golf probably 5 days a week. I mean, he plays golf, he's retired, right? So he plays golf a lot. My mom plays 3 days a week. In fact, they moved to a community in Florida. They lived in Virginia their entire lives, and they moved to a community in Florida mainly because they have an absurd number of golf courses in this community. I mean, literally, I can call them almost any day of the week, and Dad's like, yeah, we're on hole 7, you know, we're on hole 5, we're doing this. So it is really, really important to them that they get to play golf. Now, one of the things that my dad always said to me when he was talking about golf was he said, Tim, you never fully arrive in golf. He said, you never fully arrive. He said, I can go out and I can have a fantastic game of golf. A really, really good game, and everybody's cheering me on. And he said, I can go out the next day and have a terrible game of golf. He said, you know, I can tee off and think, oh, today's going to be a great day, and everything go downhill from there. In fact, just a few months ago, my dad broke his shoulder, his arm up here, and he couldn't play golf for like months and months and months and months and months. The very first thing he did when he was cleared was he went out and played a game of golf the very next morning. He was so excited. He said the first 3 holes were bad, but he got better. But the idea is that Dad said he plays a lot because it's fun, but he also plays a lot because he wants to get better. And I think about this scripture, and the very first thing that he says is strive for full restoration. Other translations say strive for full sanctification. What does that mean? To grow closer and closer to God. To connect more and more with God. To get deeper and deeper in our relationship with God. Now, I think when Paul's talking about strive for full restoration, he's not just talking about our relationship with God. I think Paul's talking to the Corinthians and he's saying, hey, strive for full restoration in your relationship with God, but also in your relationship with each other. Friends, I think a word that we need in the church and in the world right now is strive for full restoration in your relationships with one another. I think it's an absolutely important goal. Now, my dad likes to say that the game of golf is like striving for perfection. He hopes every day he can tweak and get better. But he does say as soon as he works on his putting, then his long game gets messed up. So he said he goes from one place to another. I think in our lives, as we strive for full restoration, as we strive to grow closer and closer to God, that's what it's like. We work a little bit each day on this, or we work on this. And it's not because we have to. It's not a works-based thing. It's because as we do these things, we grow closer and closer to God. We connect more and more with God. I think at Restoration, we're living this out. We show up week after week here and in our life groups with a heart and a desire to grow. Folks constantly have conversations with me about wanting to be better people, about wanting to grow closer to God, connect more. What I read from this is that people want to be more like Christ. We want our lives to reveal that we want to be more like Christ. And there's fruit coming from this. More and more people are coming. Do you know, at our Christmas Eve services this year, we had almost 100 more people than last year. More and more people are drawn to what God is doing in the midst of this community. More and more people want to know. We have more people that are experiencing life groups. I've constantly had people tell me that you are some of the most gracious and kind people that they've met. When people come into this place, they experience welcome. They experience this desire for people to be more like Christ. Our life groups are experiencing real conversation, and guess what? They even have disagreement in them. Isn't that great? Because in real conversation, there's real disagreement. And we should disagree with one another. But I think all of this is part of sanctification. It's all about allowing God to do something big in our lives to begin transforming us. I had someone recently tell me that she came to Restoration for the first time. She said what was so different about this place, and she's been checking out churches, was that she was greeted by someone in the parking lot. She said, you know how many places I go where there's nobody to greet me? She was greeted by somebody at the front door. She was greeted all the way in. She came into this room, and people engaged her during the meet and greet. People talked to her. And then she said she came back the next week, and guess what? People asked her how her week was, that she mattered. Don't you think that we're all longing just to matter to somebody? She mattered. Striving for full restoration. Who we're trying to be is about showing people that they matter. And that takes us to the next part that Paul says. He says, encourage one another, be of one mind, and live in peace. This woman, when she told me this story, she said she felt encouraged by other people just because they asked her how she was. They asked her about her life. They engaged her. We want to be a church that constantly does that. Not because we want something out of people. You may have heard of this little golfer. His name is Tiger Woods. So you may have heard of that person. There's a 2015 article about Tiger Woods in the This Week magazine that I thought was really powerful. Because he was the dominant force in pro golf. For 264 weeks, he was the world's number one golfer. Do you know that? Is that not amazing? 264 weeks, he was the number one golfer in the world. And then week 265 didn't go so well for him. Things went downhill. He lost his game. He did some things in his life. People weren't as excited about him. And when he was interviewed for this article, he said, there's really nothing I can look forward to. He said, I'm really good at playing video games. That's basically how I pass a lot of my time. Y'all, I don't want anybody in the world to think there's nothing to look forward to. I don't think anybody in the world should think that what they do defines who they are. When we started Restoration, we wanted to be a place where not what you did didn't define who you are, but who you are defined who you are, and whose you are defined who you are. Encouraging one another is not about going, how great did you do at your job today? How good of a parent were you this week? Encouraging one another is about loving one another, meeting each other where we are, and saying, how can I journey with you and walk with you? That's who we long to be. The next part of the scripture says this, greet one another with a holy kiss. So I'd like for everybody to get up right now. I'm just kidding. You're like, I hate this place. Those who are new today are like, oh, I don't like this at all. All right, I'm not going to encourage you to give each other a holy kiss, but I want us to think about the intimacy in that statement. When he says give a holy kiss, I think it is probably less simply about the act of kissing someone and more about the way that we engage one another. Greet with a holy kiss. I was thinking this week, how do we greet our community with a holy kiss? How do you do that in a way that doesn't freak people out? If we just went around the community and started kissing people, that's not going to go over well. I mean, the hugs are enough, right? But kissing people all over the place. But I think the way that we greet people with a holy kiss is to meet people right where they are and ask them what their needs are and not try to define their needs for them. You know, one of the big problems in the church, y'all, is that for years and years we've been trying to go around and tell people all the things that they need. This is what you need in your life, instead of going, how do I meet you right where you are and journey with you? How do I do that? So I think the way that we do this is we meet communities. We meet people in the community and we say, what do you need? How can we encourage and support you? We have a desire to help people reach their goals. We have a desire for our actions to line up with the goal, which is a lot like putting. My dad taught me how to putt, and I'm still not great at it, so please don't judge him. But my dad taught me how to putt, and he used to use the phrase, you may have heard this, like kissing the ball. Have you ever heard this in golf? It's, if you putt too hard, you're going to go way past it. I mean, I've had like 5 or 6 shots on a putting green before, okay? But sometimes you have to just kiss the ball. Meet the ball right where it is and just tap it. Send it forward just a little bit. And I think that's what we do, friends, in our community. That's what we do with our partnerships. We go to places like this elementary school and we say, how can we help you accomplish your goals? We don't come in and say, you know what this school really needs is X, Y, and Z. We come in and we say, how can we help you meet what you need? The principal said to us this year, we need more mentors. We have more mentors. The principal said this year, we need classroom libraries. We have now outfitted 6 full classrooms with full libraries. Teachers who did not have the resources and the books their kids needed now have what, hundreds of books for the kids in their class, which transforms their lives. We signed an official partnership with South Lakes High School through the county. And we said, what do you need? And they said, we need food in our food pantry. So every month we provide food. They said, we have young single moms who don't have the things that they need for their children. And we brought in a pile of stuff for single moms. They said, we need help with our ESOL students. And that's the next part of our journey that we're stepping into. Friends, we don't go in and say, this is what you need. We as a church come in and we greet with a holy kiss. We say, how can we meet you where you are? And friends, every time we bring the holy kiss mentality, guess what? It's absolutely welcomed. People are grateful. But today is not simply just about what we've done this last year, right? We've been able to do some great things. Today is about, friends, we're entering year five. Five's a big year for a church. Do you know many churches never make it to year five? Five is a big year for a church, and we have to decide who we want to be in year five. What are we going to do in year five? Why do people use the word four in golf? They use it to say, look out. Here we come. We want to be a church that says, look out, here we come. Not like, look out, we're going to hit you in the head. Like, look out, here we come, because we want to do something really, really big in this community. We want to do the things that we're doing better in 2019. We're not seeking to start a lot of new initiatives. We did our dream campaign last year, and that's a 3-year campaign, and we're doing some great things with it. But we want to do everything that we're doing better. Not better because that checks some box, but better because we want to reach more people, connect with more people. Because, you know, there are still people out in the world that don't have any sort of community. There are still people who live right here in this Reston community that have no community. Our dream goals have not changed. We are planning to launch live stream very soon in this church, which means you can tell your neighbors and your friends, they can experience our worship live. If you're traveling, you can do it too. But it'll be another opportunity for you to invite people to experience it. We will provide more classroom libraries this year. We are meeting with community partners to start an after-school program for kids in kindergarten and first grade in this community so that they stay out of gangs and out of trouble in their neighborhoods. And friends, we're going to keep pressing on, to keep meeting this community where it is, to keep asking, what do you want us to do? Guys, I think Restoration is the most different church I've ever been a part of. We are not simply another church. This church wants to change the world. And not change the world because we think the world is bad. Change the world because we believe that God has called us to go out and be like Christ to the world. There are so many ways that we have been asked by this community to participate in the community. Why? I think it's because we show up, we do what we say we're going to do, and we ask people, how can we help you? How can we be part of what's already going on here? Friends, striving for full restoration is not simply about just being best friends with everybody. Striving for full restoration is about meeting people where they are and trying to engage them where they are and to help people experience the love that Christ has for us. Overall, there's still more to be done. There are more kids who are hungry in Reston. You know that? There's still kids who are hungry. There are more students at Forest Edge that need mentors. There are more young men and women at South Lakes High School who need us to stand up and be the church. As I said, there are people in this community that have nobody, that live right in the midst of all these houses and don't have any sort of community and relationship. And I want us to think about, in 2019, who are we going to invite to experience this? Who do we want to invite and engage to experience this beautiful thing called restoration? What's the vision for 2019? The vision is to take everything that we're doing to the next level. The vision is to do it better, to focus more, to love more, to care more, to reach out more, to meet people where they are more. If this is your first Sunday, welcome to the ride. We're glad you're here. Welcome to the game. We can keep the whole metaphor going. If you want to be part of a community that will love you, that will meet you where you are, this is the place. You're welcome. If you want to be part of a community that's going to leave you alone, this is probably not the place. But I hope you'll choose to be here. I hope 2019 will be the year where we look back and we say, man, God did a lot of incredible things that year, and I was so grateful to be a part of it. So we're going to have communion this morning. There's a little gift for everybody. It's a golf ball. And on the golf ball, it says, Restoration 2019, here we come. So I want you to take this golf ball. Even if you don't receive communion this morning, you can still come get one. There'll be one back at the back station and one up here. I want you to take this golf ball, and I want you to put it in a place where you see it. I want you to put it in a place where you see it every day. And if that's weird to have a golf ball in your bathroom, that's okay. Put it in your car, in your bathroom, on your desk, whatever. But I want us to think every single day, what is God calling us to do? Who is God calling us to connect with? How is God calling us to relate in 2019? And how are we going to do it bigger and better? I'm excited to be on the journey with you.